What's going on, guys? It's your boy Big Baby Steve. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Philly Talks. Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed my last episode. You know, go back and listen to it if you haven't. I'm gonna do a UFC recap from last night, UFC 249. Because I'm stuck in traffic. I'm gonna be late to work, like really late. So this is like real standstill traffic. So I got time, so might as well kill it by, you know, doing a quick recap. You know what I'm saying? So first of all, I just want to say that it is Sunday morning. So, you know, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, not just all the single moms, but all the moms out there that are like married and still in a relationship with their baby father, or any relationship that are still taking care. If you are taking care of your kids and you're doing the best you can as a mother, happy Mother's Day. I hope you enjoy your day. I hope you guys are made to feel special, because at the end of the day, we only get one mom. So, you know, you should always be treated like the queens that you guys are. You know what I'm saying? Also, I would like to thank the UFC for bringing back fights. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fight card from last night was crazy. I truly enjoyed it. It was a really good supercard. Oh, yeah. One more thing. I want to give a shout out to Tati. I don't know if a couple episodes ago, you guys remember that I told you guys about Tati and how, like, she's a young artist and whatever. She has a music video coming out. I'm gonna put the details in the description of this podcast. So if you guys want to hear, like, I'll tell you when it's coming out and who it's with. I just saw on her Instagram not too long ago, literally last night, I think is when I saw it. She announced it. I think it's coming out sometime in the middle of this month. That's going to be coming out. So, you know, congratulations to you, Tati. You've been working hard. I hope you have many more. You know what I'm saying? I told you guys from the beginning when I first heard her and I saw that she was still doing her music thing. After I met her and was friends with her in high school for a little bit, like, she's going places, guys. Like, she's very talented. So, you know, congrats, Thoth. I hope everything goes well for you. You know what I'm saying? Can't wait to see the music video. So back to the fights. So this Dana White and the UFC, thank you for bringing back the fights, because I enjoyed it. I needed that. You know what I'm saying? It was a really good card. I'm only going to recap the main card, the last five fights of the night, because I think those were the most important ones because of title contention and stuff like that. We're going to get straight to it. You know, we're going to go straight to it. So the first fight was Greg Hardy, who used to be the NFL pro player. He played for the Panthers. He's trained for a year. He's been in MMA for 3 years now, about 3 years, but he's only been fighting for two. And if you know Greg Hardy, you know that he came out on the Dana White's Tuesday Contender Fight Nights that happens every summer. And they gave him a developmental contract when they saw him. So they've been, I'm not going to say been taking care of him, but they've been they put him on, they make sure they're growing him, basically. You know what I'm saying? They're not putting him against the biggest, baddest dudes right away, because, you know, that would be unfair to him. You know what I'm saying? If he's only been fighting for 2 years, like, it'd be unfair for him to be, you know, he's still a learning curve. So he fought a really good fight against Jorgen De Castro, and Jorgen is not someone you take lightly. You know what I'm saying? This was a level up for Greg Hardy. Like, for a fact, it was a level up. Like, De Castro is one of those big guys, right, that doesn't look like he's fast. He doesn't look like he's too strong, but he's the complete opposite. He's completely fast and he's completely strong. He has great stand up. You know what I'm saying? His legs are so big that his leg kicks are devastating. So, you know, it was going to be a fight from the gate. You know what I'm saying? And shout outs to all the three heavyweight fights that were on the fight card, because they did not disappoint whatsoever. And all three heavyweight fights, usually if you get two heavyweight fights in one card, usually one of them is a stinker. No doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry to be that guy, but it's true. One of them are usually a stinker. They stink up the scene, you know, but there was one on the prelims and two on the main card, and Greg was part, Greg and Castro were part of the first, the second heavyweight fight of the card, and they killed it. The first round was crazy. They were throwing leather like nothing else, cracking each other. Like, I know Greg is a strong dude, but, you know, he got hit a lot, and so did the Castro. Like, you know, they were catching each other for the first, but the Castro started to kick Greg Hardy's left leg just around the kneecap, just around the back of the knee. And you could see Greg Hardy's leg start welting up at the beginning of the second. Like, he had the welt, the mark in the first round, but in the beginning of the second, you could literally see it really welting up. And if you don't know how that feels, basically you can't use your leg. You know what I'm saying? Because everything starts to cramp up, everything starts to get swollen and get stiff. So the movement that you once had on your feet, you don't have anymore. So Greg was not checking those kicks whatsoever. He was trying to slide his leg out of the way when they were coming, but the Castro had enough length where he was still catching him, even though Greg was trying to pull his leg back. Here's the thing that I was thinking in my head before the fights even started, was that since they were going to be in an empty arena and you can hear everything, because everyone says it's like you can hear people breathing, you can hear a pin being dropped. You have Daniel Cormier as a commentator on this fight card, and Daniel Cormier, for a fact, is a... sorry about that, guys. Somebody just rear-ended somebody behind me because this, again, the standstill traffic. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Like, but not my problem. The lonely end didn't hit me. So Daniel is a coach, and he coaches over by AKA. So I was wondering, because when he commentates during these fights, he usually coaches. He's like, oh, this person should be doing this and that, whatever. And I was wondering if any of the fighters were going to be, if they heard him, would they take his advice? Well, come to find out, Greg Hardy did take his advice, for a fact. And he says that in the second round, right, he heard Daniel Cormier tell Joe Rogan, because they're all separated, but they all have mics on, so they can hear each other and the people at home can hear them. He said that Dan Hardy isn't checking leg kicks and he needs to start checking them. So Dan actually heard him and started checking Del Castro's leg kicks, to the point where the Castro throws a leg kick, Hardy slides his left leg out the way and then checks with his right foot, his right shin. And it looked like the Castro, since he was going across and not hitting the first leg, but going across to the second, that his toes connected with Greg Hardy's shin, which I think he broke a toe or two, I believe. Because after Hardy checked that kick, the Castro at no point did he throw another leg kick through that whole fight. No leg kicks. He and his activity was very, very low for the second and third round. Greg Hardy basically was more active, putting more pressure, taking more control. And at the end of the fight, when the third round, when the bell rang, the Castro and Hardy hugged out of respect. And the Castro went down and pointed to Greg Hardy and said, like, I broke my toe in the second. You know what I'm saying? So I'm guessing that's why he didn't throw any more leg kicks through the whole fight. So Greg Hardy leaves with the win, which is big for Greg Hardy. I think Greg Hardy, if he continues his momentum and he continues to work hard and everything, he's going to be one of the heavyweights that we're going to be talking about within 2 or 3 years from now. You know? Yeah, so congrats to Greg Hardy. You know. Also, who else do we have? Who else was on the fight card? So the second fight, this one surprised me a little bit. And I was talking to Rick about this, and I was talking to Sam, and I shout out to Sam, because he called this one. He said that that Calvin was going to win. Calvin Carter, I don't know how to say his last name. Qatar was going to beat Jeremy Stephens. I didn't think Jeremy Stephens was going to lose this fight like that. You know, like the fan in me wanted Jeremy Stephens to win, and I thought he was. If this was a young up-and-coming fighter, then I can be like, okay, yeah, like I can see Jeremy Stephens losing. But like when I saw their records were not that far apart from each other. Jeremy Stephens was like 28 and 17 or something like that. And Qatar Calvin was like 20 and 12. So these are not young guys. These guys are you know, they're not that they're old, but they're in their 30s. You know what I'm saying? And I think Qatar's in his 30s. Maybe I'm misspeaking, but if you're 20 and 12, that means you've had 32 fights. And Jeremy Stephens has had 33 fights. And Jeremy Stephens has been fighting since. And Jeremy Stephens is 33 years old. Just to put it out there. So that means he's been fighting. He started fighting at a young age. So to rack up those many fights, you have to be in the fight game for a minute. So Calvin, I thought the fight was going to go different. I thought Jeremy Stephens was going to use his hands, his boxing, and his leg kicks, because he has really nice leg kicks. And I thought the first round was going to be a stand-up war. And then in the second and third, I thought he would try to take him down and ground him out. You know what I'm saying? Like, hit some ground and pound, get good positioning and control, and really rain down some punches and elbows, and he would have got the decision. That's what I thought. I didn't think he was going to get a submission. I thought maybe if him and Qatar got into the pocket, I thought Stevenson would have knocked, you know, at least hurt him in the pocket. That did not go the way I thought. Calvin came out in the second, and he literally he threw a right hook, and I thought it was with his hand, but only to find out that he actually threw a right elbow hook. You know what I'm saying? Like, he threw his elbow rather than his hand, which connected on Jeremy Stephens' jaw. It dropped him. Jeremy did not expect that whatsoever. It dropped him hard. Calvin got on top, threw some ground and pound. Jeremy was not... He wasn't able to defend himself correctly. The fight had to be stopped. He got cut open with an elbow at the end right there, and Jeremy started bleeding pretty bad. But congrats to Calvin. Like, that was a really good fight. You know what I'm saying? I didn't realize Calvin had a longer reach. So when I saw he had a longer reach, I said, well, this might be bad for Jeremy, because Calvin was really hitting Jeremy at the end of his punches. Like... And I could tell, like, he was really whipping back Jeremy's head. But I thought at some point Jeremy was going to try to take him down. So, but it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. So Calvin won by TKO. Congratulations to him. That was a really good fight, too. You know, and shout out to Sam, because he was the only one that picked Calvin, you know, before the fights. Christian Six sent me his, I put it on my Instagram. He sent me his fight card, but he sent it to me right at the Nagano fight, so I can't really say that he picked them or not, because everyone else, like Sam, Rick, and Lender, they all sent me their fight cards before the fight started. So, you know, Sam, at least Sam is the only person that I know that before the fight picked Calvin. So congrats to Sam. Just to give you guys what I mean by sending me their fight cards, I put up the fight card. All five fights, I said, circle the ones that you think are going to win tonight to see who's the winner. And, you know, I'll tell you who won at the end. Then the third fight. Ooh, the third fight. Oh, my goodness. Are you guys listening? You got Francis Cigano, you know, a monster of a man going against. Let me see if I can say my man's name right, because I don't want to screw it up. Is Jahizano? Rosenstrike. You know what I'm saying? We just gonna call him Rosenstrike. You know what I'm saying? Francis Ngannou and Rosenstrike went. Well, I can't really say they went to war. I can't really say that. I had a feeling this was not gonna be a. It wouldn't go to decision, and I really knew it wouldn't go out of the first, because of their. Rosenstrike was not gonna back down. Francis was not going to back down, and you know they were going to throw hands. The one thing that caught my eye, though, was Rosenstrike came in looking pretty lean, so he didn't look as full as he usually does as a heavyweight. Maybe he thought he's going to take the Stipe Miocic route and, you know, try to beat Zingano with cardio and putting him up against the cage and try to get some takedowns and all that. It didn't work. Zingano came out flying. They threw a couple exchanges. Zagano missed literally three punches. Zagano literally, every time he threw a punch, Rozenstruik literally just got out of the way. Like, Francis's punch was literally grazing Rozenstruik's chin. That's how close it was. Though I think the only problem was Rozenstruik didn't counter at any point. He just kept leaning back until he got to the cage. And I think Francis realized that. So he said, I'm going to keep throwing until you get to that cage. And I'm going to hit you because you can't lean back anymore. I think if Rozenstruik would have tried to duck some of those punches and circled, it would be a different story. You know, but Francis just kept throwing. There was no counters. And so finally, Rozenstruik hits the cage with his back. And Zingano, oh my God, throws a left hook from hell that just drops Rozenstruik, and he just goes on top of him. Once Rozenstruik gets hit with that only punch, he only hit him one time. He went down, slumped on the ground on the top of the cage, and I think Zagano maybe got like two punches off on him until the referee finally said it's over, and Rozenstruik was knocked out. It was that quick. 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? If that. 2 minutes. Like, that was crazy. Francis is the most scariest fighter in the UFC. You can't say anything more than that, because you can't just say he's the strongest, the scariest fighter in the heavyweight division. No. He's the scariest fighter, strongest fighter in the UFC. Nobody wants to fight him. To the point where I tuned into Dana White's live. He went live on Instagram after the fight. And he went over to Daniel Cormier, who's a former light heavyweight champion and former heavyweight champion. And Daniel's supposed to be fighting Stipe for the heavyweight title at some point. But even Daniel took off his headset during the live set with Dana. I was like, whoa, like, that guy only needs one punch. And it's true. All he needs to do is connect one time with you, and it's over. So, it I give props to Stipe, because Stipe took a couple punches against Nagano as well, but he was able to weather the storm and put on a wrestling clinic on Nagano. A young Francis at that point, you know, a Francis from, you know, maybe 2 years ago. So, you know, that's to let you know how special Stipe is. But after the fight, even Daniel was like, he said on headset during the commentary, he said, I want to see Francis fight for the belt. He deserves a title shot. But he said, I just don't want to see him fight for the belt against me. And I said, that's the truest statement Daniel Cormier has ever said in his life. Nobody wants to fight that guy. And Rick, I was talking to Rick just before I started this podcast. And Rick brings up a good point. He says, if Stipe doesn't want that fight, and Daniel doesn't want that fight either, where does Nagano go? Because he'll have to fight one person just to get the belt. But he's already cleared out the division at this point, you know? Like, I don't think Radun would try to go for that belt. I don't think Onik, I think that's how you say his name. Sorry, I'm getting a little tongue-tied. Onik is the person who fought Radun in the prelims on the same card last night. And I think he won as well. So, you know, if Nagano wins the belt, you really don't have anybody for him. Like, you can't put Greg Hardy against him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be unfair. Greg Hardy's still learning, so it's just like, like, once Nagano finally does win the heavyweight title, like, where does he go? You know what I'm saying? Dana will probably have to move him to Zuffa Boxing. Supposedly, Zuffa Boxing is still coming. Supposedly. I hope it does. You know, the UFC and Dana White said they want to move into the boxing game as well. And, you know, get some good fights in there as well. So, I think Nagano, if he wins the heavyweight title, he has nobody to fight. I think he'd be a great candidate to go up as a heavyweight contender for the new Zuffa Boxing organization once they do start it up. Because I think I don't think he has anybody to fight. The heavyweight division is pretty thin right now. You know, right now you got Stipe and Daniel Cormier. Daniel Cormier says he's going to have his last fight with Stipe because he's going to retire. So, and I don't think there's enough money in the world that Dana can offer Daniel Cormier to be like, hey, we'll pay you X amount of money or dollars to fight Nagano for the belt. And I think Stipe is fighting an eye injury. He got a torn retina in his left eye, and then in his last fight with Daniel, he hurt his right eye, but he didn't tear it. So if I'm Stipe now, I also have to take into account, like, this is the strongest dude in the division. So if I get cracked again, he can literally tear my retina again and destroy my eye. And if you don't know what the result of a torn retina and all that, look up Michael Bisping. Michael Bisping has one eye right now. He has one eye. He has one bad eye and one okay eye. Not even a good eye, an okay eye, because he put himself through so much damage and he got punched by some of the hardest hitters in the division that his eyes, like, that's how hard someone, like, people talk about your brain getting scrambled in your skull. Imagine your eyes being scrambled. So, you know, Stipe might have to think about that again. So, shout out to Francis Ngannou. Crazy. I can't wait to see him fight again. I wonder who they're going to put him against. But then we get to the co-main event. And the co-main event was Henry Cejudo versus Dominic Cruz. And this, guys, this was a good fight. I thought Cruz was going to come in. I forgot that Cruz had been off for so long. I think his last fight was in 2016. So here he is coming back. He didn't look in shape. He looked skinny, but he's always looked like that shredded skinny. Here he looked like just skinny. So I thought maybe his cardio was going to take him the rest of the way. And he could probably sneak out a split decision against Henry Cejudo. But Henry came in looking stupid ganked. Like stupid, shredded, strong, filled. And again, I know you're like, guys, like, I know you guys are saying, Steve, why'd you pick Cruz? He's been out for so long. But Henry Cejudo has also been out for quite some number of months as well because he had shoulder surgery. So the last time he fought was last June. So here we are in May, so it's been 11 months. So there could have been some rust on Henry Cejudo as well, but Henry stopped all that talk right away. I thought Henry was going to go in there and try to box. No, Henry knew exactly what to do. He went for Dominic Cruz's legs. If you know Dominic Cruz, you know he has a great footwork. He moves side to side, forward, back, diagonal. He's never in the same spot more than for a second or two. But Henry Cejudo started chopping at those legs to the point where even Dominic Cruz had to try to jump over one of his leg kicks. And when I mean jump over, I mean he tried to jump both legs over. That's how much they were hurting. And but in the second, Dominic Cruz looked like he was getting into his rhythm. He started catching Cejudo with some punches. But then Henry literally, no lie, Henry caught him with a... It looked like Henry was going to throw a kick. But Cruz went down for a takedown. So the knee, as his kick was coming up, Henry Cejudo's knee hit Dominic Cruz in the face as he bent down. And it rocked him. It put Dominic Cruz on his ass. And Henry Cejudo jumped on him like a rabbit Wolverine and started pounding on him to the point where the referee was like, you know, he stopped the fight. Here's the problem, though. I truly believe it was an early stoppage. That's what I truly believe. Because after Cruz gets hit and he goes down and Henry jumps on him, Henry hits Dominic for maybe 10, 11 punches unanswered, right? Here's the problem I got. Because you're like, hey, but if it was unanswered, then the fight should have been stopped. Yes, I agree with you 100%. My thing was Cruz was still moving his head on the ground. You know what I mean? He was trying to bob and weave from the bottom. And not because he thought that was a good defense, but because he's trying to get back to his feet. It was only like 15, 10 seconds left. He's trying to bob his head and trying to stand up. My thing is, as a referee and as a fan, as someone who's, you know, who either watches the sport for so long, you know that when you're in that position, you're on your hands and knees, and there's somebody on you throwing punches repeatedly, you're going to take punches as you get up. That you can't do anything about that. So if Cruz would have put his left hand up and just stood in a cradle position and just took all those punches and wasn't moving, fine. I got you. Stop that fight. Cruz was too hurt. Cruz, you can't complain about that. But that's not what happened. Cruz was taking those punches, bobbing his head. And when he finally got his base under him and he went to go stand up, that's when the referee came and jumped in. And that just sucked. That really, really sucked. Because it was like, wow, like... If he would have jumped in three punches to go, cool. I have no problem. But you jumped in at the wrong time, and Cruz was not happy about that. You know? But shout out to Henry Cejudo. He did his thing. After the fight, he said he's retiring. Some people are saying that it's a negotiation tactic, that he wants to get paid more money, but I hope not. You know, he's been competing since a little kid, so it's just like he's a winner in high, and while he was a high school kid, he was a winner in college. I mean, not even college. He was a winner. He went from high school straight to the Olympics, and he won a gold medal in the Olympics, to then come to MMA and then win the 125 title and the 135 title. Like, he's 33. This is the perfect time for him to retire. He's been competing for 22 years. Right into the sunset, Henry. Right into the sunset. But during the press conference, he kept saying, but if they add an extra zero to my paycheck, you know what I'm saying? Maybe. And I'm like, no, you don't need that. You know what I'm saying? You don't need that. You are actually doing it correct. You're one of the few guys that still has your brain cells with you. You can't do anything else. The only super fight you were going to get was TJ Dillashaw belt against belt and Dominick Cruz. That's it. And you got both of them and you beat them both. Leave. You beat Mighty Mouse, you beat TJ, and you beat Cruz. You're done. You don't need to prove anything else. Take your money, invest it, and live your life. You know what I'm saying? Be free. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about getting up and work and training and cutting weight and making it to the gym. Like, you can literally just go and ride off into the sunset as a winner. You know, the only other person that's done that is George St. Pierre, leaving on top. And he just got, and that's another thing. George St. Pierre got inducted to the Hall of Fame last night as well. So, Henry, leave. Follow what George did. You know what I'm saying? He showed you the way. He said, do what you have to do. And then leave on top. You don't have to stick around until you finally fall off, you know. So congratulations to him. Hopefully he does retire. And then the main event. Woo boy. Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. Holy moly. I was literally texting Sam through this fight, and we were going back and forth about how impressive Gaethje looked. You know what I'm saying? Now, to be fair, before we get into this, Tony was supposed to be fighting Khabib last month. That did not go down. So that means he had to cut weight twice. He cut weight for the Khabib fight. They told him that the fight was canceled, and they said, well, would you want to go into another fight camp to fight Justin Gaethje in May? And he said, yeah. So that means he went from one weight cut to another weight cut. If you don't know how weight cutting affects you, it is not good. It's a reason why boxers and MMA fighters and weight cut during camp and after they camp, they take a month or two to rehydrate and, you know, because you're putting your body through so much. I think the weight cut affected Tony. I texted in my group chat earlier in the day, and I said, when I saw the weigh-ins, and I said, Ferguson looks like he's sunk in. Like, his skin is sunken. It looks like he went through a weight cut, which is the first time ever that I've seen that, because he usually looks pretty good. But going through two weight cuts in 1 month, you know, it's not good. So that could have had something to do with it, but definitely Gaethje came out there looking good. And in the first round, they were throwing punches, and Gaethje was literally trying to kill Tony Ferguson, just trying to kill him. To the point where Trevor Whitman, his coach, even after the first, said, excuse me, can you stop throwing so many haymakers? You know what I'm saying? He told them, take 10% off those punches, because you're trying to kill him. Not hurt him, not knock him out, but you're trying to kill him. He said, I think he should have took 25% off, but I'm not the coach. Trevor Whitman's the coach. And he said, take 10% off those punches, and let's just be accurate. Accuracy and value. And I tell you, Gaethje put on a stand-up clinic. The punches that Tony Ferguson took in this fight for the 4.5 rounds he was in there are crazy. I've never seen Tony Ferguson get beat up so badly. Like, it was hard to watch at some points, because anybody else, we've seen Gaethje knock out guys. Anyone else would have went down to the ground and been knocked out. Gaethje would have knocked at least 90% of the people in that division with some of the punches he was hitting Ferguson. And now I know why they call Ferguson the El Cocuy, because it seemed every time Gaethje hit him with a punch, He kept coming forward. It looked like he didn't even register the punches coming. He got hit and kept coming forward. That's Okoukwe, someone who you keep hitting but just keeps coming forward. But during the fight, he was getting beat up. And again, look, guys, something I have to tell you as well. I love Eddie Bravo. I really do. But I think Eddie Bravo was in the corner, and he told Ferguson around, I think, the end of the second or end of the third, they were realizing they're losing the fight. And they said, and, you know, Eddie Bravo was like, maybe you need to go for a Minari role. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. And I know, I was talking to Rick about it, and Rick's like, look, if you're losing, you got to throw something wild out there. And I said, that's true, but he's never done that. A Minari role is when you leap on your back and you try to underhook a leg, and then you try to spin around and get your legs around his legs. We've seen Tony try to do it in the past in other fights, but he's never gotten it. So I don't think that was the right advice. Again, I'm not the coach. I'm not Eddie Bravo. And don't get me wrong, Eddie Bravo is a genius when it comes to jiu-jitsu and fighting and stuff like that, but mostly jiu-jitsu. But I don't think that was the correct plan. I thought, you know, maybe the correct plan should have been, let's try to get him up against the cage and land some elbows or get a takedown. And I know it's easier said than done, because Gaethje is a wrestler as well. He's a really good striker, but he started off as a wrestler. He's been wrestling since he was 4 years old. So, but I thought if they could get him against the cage and land some, because Tony Ferguson has some nasty elbows that cuts you open, like slices you head to toe with those elbows. I thought maybe he could do some damage with that. Justin did not let him get anywhere near him. He was chopping at the leg, and that's another thing. Gaethje's always been known for his leg kicks. It never was really his boxing, but his leg kicks. But on that day, he put his hands and legs together, and he was hurting Ferguson to the legs and to the body and to the head. And I think that's what slowed down Ferguson in the fourth and fifth, which was surprising, because Ferguson doesn't slow down for anything. The same Ferguson you see in the first is the same Ferguson you see in the fifth. But he slowed down, and Gaethje was just timing. By the fourth and fifth, his timing was perfect. I think he has slowed down Ferguson's momentum with those leg kicks, that when Ferguson tried to throw something, he was just timing those counters. Until finally, I was texting, and someone said, like, oh, I think Ferguson had broken his nose in the third, but I said, no, it broke at the fifth. That was the closing punch. Justin Gaethje in the middle of the fifth round throws a jab that catches Ferguson. And it's the first time in the whole fight Ferguson reacted and registered a punch. Because when he got, and I think it broke his nose, because when it did that, he backed up and shook his head, and it looked like his right hand was trying to grab something. So that's how I know it was really bad. So I think he broke the nose in the fifth, and Herb Dean, the referee, the best in the business, saw that. He saw that Tony was backing up and wasn't throwing and wasn't defending. And it was like Gaethje's about to go for the kill, and Herb just stopped it. And I don't blame him at all. I don't blame him. You know, that was a good stoppage. Justin Gaethje put a boxing clinic. And I love the way Justin Gaethje fought, because if you don't know how Justin Gaethje fights, he's a brawler. He goes out there and brawls and makes it ugly. This is the first time I've seen him put a boxing clinic together, a kickboxing clinic, and not get hit. His whole thing was, don't get hit, but hit the other guy. His whole fight career has been, you hit me, I hit you. Let's see who's the first one to go down to the ground and get knocked out. This fight, he did not do that. Even though Tony Ferguson did catch him in the end of the first round with a beautiful uppercut that dropped Gaethje. And I think Charlie Whitman was like, hey, we don't want that. Like, we don't want to exchange with him. We want to counter, and we want to be first to attack and, you know, get out the pocket, because we don't want to trade with him. So Justin Gaethje had a great plan. He's your new 155 lightweight interim champion. So the next fight should be Khabib. Hopefully it's Khabib. I think he's going to have, you know, just like Khabib has been training since he was a kid, so has Gaethje. So I think that since they both have a really good wrestling pedigree, it's going to be a good fight. You know what I mean? I don't think, you know, Khabib might take him down, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I think Gaethje might have some really good wrestling defense. We saw, I was talking, again, like I told you, I was talking to Rick earlier, and Rick made a good point. He said, you know, Ala Quinta was defending Khabib's shots later in the rounds as the fight was going on. So, and Al's a really good All-American wrestler as well. So, you know, Gaethje might have a really good chance of stopping Khabib's shots and putting on another kickboxing clinic. So, but all right, guys, those are the results. I truly enjoyed it. I hope you guys were able to watch it. Happy Mother's Day to everyone, to all the moms out there. I got to get into work. You guys have a good one. Thank you for tuning in. I truly appreciate it. You guys stay safe. It's your boy, Big Baby Steve, and you just been listening to Philly Talks.